Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice.
Hey there, EB5 Investment Voice listener. A few episodes ago, Mona shared with you the voices from the Global Investment Immigration Summit. She talked to quite a few people, and a handful of them ended up on that episode. One of those people, Harjahab Bengel, had a great conversation with Mona about how legal immigration representation works in the United Kingdom. Well, since Mona was in the UK interviewing Harjahab, it seemed only fair that he come here into the United States and have a conversation with Mona and Rebecca. This episode is a little different. I stayed quiet and was just a fly on the wall. In fact, I had to end up muting my microphone because I was laughing too much. So now let me invite you to listen in on the Indian EB5 Mythbuster team.
Harjahab, how do you find New York, having dragged you out of sunny London?
I find it a lot better than what I did, say, 8 years ago.
Really?
So, yeah, I like the hustle and bustle. Food is, like, totally fattening. I don't think I could stay here for about more than 2 weeks because you guys have bacon and cheese on everything.
I love New York food.
I am half expecting to turn up at an Asian wedding and have a yogurt with bacon in it, like a cheese in it. And I'll be like, oh my God, what's this? Like, only in America. But yeah, other than that, I'm really liking it. I'm really liking this layout. I'm really liking the people. I'm really liking the ethnicity you have here. We have that to an extent in the UK, but not as much as this.
Well, so, no. Come on, Rajab. We have a lot of Asians in England.
Yeah, when we talk about the numbers, they don't rack up to what you lot have here.
That's true.
So, we have a lot of Indians, I suppose, in England, Indians were there, and probably more than what you have in the tight areas and pocket of areas. Mm. So we have more Jackson Heights split all over the place. So, you know, or Richmond Hills all over the place.
Mm-hmm. So where's your office again?
Our office is right near the airport because that's where you need to be when you do immigration. So when someone lands and says they need a visa, they need to go, right, the first thing I need to do, I need to see a vakil. So it's like doctor, vakil, two things you need in life. So I need to go and see one. So that's why we're right near the airport in West London, in Southall. We call it Mini Punjab. So it's like the hub of where Punjabis, Pakistanis, Somalians. It's an immigrant hub. We're talking in huge numbers. So we're talking in 250,000 immigrants just in that area. Then we have one in Birmingham, which is our second largest city in the UK. And we
it's
have
about 100 miles from London.
Yeah, it's about 100 miles. Yeah. About 110 miles away from London. It's in the Midlands. Yeah. Because like 110 miles here doesn't even move you like a millimeter on the map. But for us, it's like half our country. And then we've got one in Coventry, which is about, say, 25, 30 miles away from Birmingham. And once again, we're in the areas where the high street hubs are, where the migrants are. Because if we were sitting in Canary Wharf or central London, no one wants to come to us, you see. We have to go to where the work is in this sort of area. So, and our best office are probably the one in Punjab. We're one of the few lawyers in the UK, immigration lawyers, who actually got an office in India, and we've had it for the past 15 years.
So that's right, a long time. People have offices from the US and India, but only recently. But Harjahab, I'm like understanding, you know, we had a different concept of how things really work in India. We thought we knew it, but we actually realized today we don't.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain to us how does it work for, you know, if somebody wants to immigrate to the United Kingdom or United States in India, how do they go about it?
This is why we opened up in 2003. Before that, I used to do a lot of asylum work. So I used to help get Indians out of detention centers in the UK. So I would ask them, how have you ended up here? You're an educated person. How have you ended up in a detention center or traveling by foot from Moscow to the UK, right? And you're an educated guy. And he goes, we don't have a knowledge. The agents sent us. So when I would inquire as to these agents, what they were literally were guys with back end offices in India, no qualifications, no education.
Not like your agents from China, for example, because they are qualified.
Oh, no.
And they're registered.
Oh, no. In India, there's no registration. There's no system like this. Yeah. You go to an agent solely on the basis because he's got one of your mates a visa before. So isne iska kaam kiya hai, so humara bhi ho jayega. That's the sort of mentality.
Right.
You go to this agent, you pay him 10, 15 lakhs. He'll do a deal for you like, you pay me 5 lakhs up front and the rest when your guy gets there. It's very much like, it is people trafficking.
Right.
So the main route was they'd get you a visitor visa to Moscow. Mm-hmm. And then from Moscow, you're taken by lorry, your car, over the Slovak Republic border.
Lorry is truck, by the way, for the
Americans. That's right, yeah, for anyone who doesn't know.
The American lingo.
Yeah, the people in India know what lorry means.
So in India was a huge agent culture.
Oh, there still is. So lawyers don't do immigration law in India. There is no immigration law. No lawyer in India is qualified to do UK or US immigration law, right? Mm. Just like we sitting in Manhattan or you're sitting in central London. Someone said to me, you need to sort out my immigration status in India. I wouldn't have a clue, right?
Yeah.
Same sort of thing here. So this is what we decided to do. We decided to think, well, instead of agents contacting us, agents would contact me and say, look, I've got 5 people stuck in a detention center. Can you help get them out? And I was thinking, you've just sent them here. And like I said, I'd ask these guys. And they said, there's no other route to get to the UK. And I said, but there's all these routes, student visas, working holiday makers, work permits, and investors, you know, they are routes. And they go, we don't have any knowledge of it. That's why I thought, well, hold on. Let's cut the agents out. Let's open an office in India and make myself as a lawyer accessible to these people who want to go abroad.
That's really commendable. And actually, for that reason, we decided that today's podcast would be named Indian EB5 Mythbusters.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening. There's a real need to bust the myths.
Yeah.
Oh, for the first year that I was in India, all I heard were myths. Mm-hmm. So
we're not talking King Arthur either.
No. Oh, my God. We're talking Raju from the village. So the first was like, I remember the first guy who came to see me, and I was like, Baji, mujhe visa chahiye. I said, all right, you need a visa. I said, how long for? 1 mahina, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. Hai na? And he goes, chahe 5 minute ka ho, mujhe kaun se wapas aana hai. So he's like, I don't care. Even if it's for 5 minutes, I'm not coming back anyway. So like, this is one myth that you get to a foreign land and it's all hunky dory. And that's it. Everything's there. You get your status straight away.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. The other myths.
That myth isn't just from India, by the way. That's all over. I think South America and everyone has this. They get told that the minute you cross the border, no problem. Everything is there. But for England, it's different because for England, you have the social services.
Yeah. So
which we don't have here.
Yeah. And it's a big myth. Getting abroad isn't the hard thing. The hard thing is staying abroad with status and with a visa. That's always the hard thing, I always say. So anyone can get abroad. There's people who have not even gone to school that are abroad, but that's not the hard thing, setting foot in a foreign land. The hard thing is staying there with status, getting your green card or PR, as we call it, or indefinite leave to remain as it's known. It doesn't matter what you call it here. In India, it's always called PR. So we can call it indefinite leave to remain. Acha, acha. So I'm like, you'll get your indefinite leave to remain in 3 years. Acha, acha. PR kab hoga? No. No, that is your, you'll get your green card in 5 years. No, but PR kab hoga? So like, that's the key buzzword, PR. And then a lot of people would think, right, you
not
just
People's
get,
Republic.
Yeah. Not People's Republic. And not Polo Ralph either. So they would think that just because you got somewhere, that's it. You're there. Mm-hmm. That was the first myth that we had to bust. The second myth was only agents can get you a visa.
Yeah,
that's a big myth in India as well, right? That only agents can give you a visa. Third myth that we would have is to the US, you'll have to go via Panama, Belize and the Mexico border. There's no way you can get on a plane and the US will just on a direct flight let you in. There has to be an element of hirafiri or illegalness or, you know, or dodginess in it. There's no way the UK is just going to let you in with a straight visa because that's not possible. That's never been done. Right. So that's another myth. Another myth is like, oh, I'll go abroad and don't worry. There's lots of women out there who are going to marry me.
All think that's the easiest way.
Yeah. And I'm like, listen, mate, you're about 35 here and no one in India wants to marry you, let alone someone in the US. Tumhari yahan pe shaadi nahi ho rahi, aur US jaake kaun si karegi?
But Hijab, right now, EB5 is the big thing in India.
Yeah.
And there are so many people out there because we're talking real money here and the agents making real money. So now there's a bazillion myths coming out about EB5. And this is what we're hearing as well.
This is what I want to switch it up today. So I'm going to be the guy with the myths, and I'm going to be the guy from India, and you two are going to answer my questions. That's how we're going to have it.
Can I ask you one last question before you ask? The U.S. has become popular. Why is it so popular for Indians? Why do they all are trying to get here?
The U.S. is more popular because, one, of the culture. In Indian culture, you have a lot of U.S. influence. So you're not going to believe this, right? But I went to India about 6 times a year. But I would go to the villages, and these little kids, well, they'd meet me first time. And they'd say, do you want to play? And I said, all right, let's go and play, right, with little kids. And they're like, okay, we want to play WWE. I'm going to be Undertaker, and you're going to be like this, you know, like John Cena. And I'm like, how the heck do you know about the Undertaker and John Cena? Like there. And then they're showing me all these programs on with the cable boxes that they've got. You know, there's so many channels. It's probably about 800-900 channels just on TV channels, one for every language. And so they're all showing WWE. They're all showing the Superman, Batman films. Everything has New York City, LA in it. That's a big influence on kids. And when kids see that, that's where they want to go. That's the first thing.
Exactly.
The other thing is, out of Canada and US, US is always going to be the preferable choice. I don't know what it is. I think more it's for the vibrancy and the prestige. So if you've got a US passport, it makes it better than Canada. People only go to Canada, one, if they've got strong, heavy relatives there, or they've been refused for the US.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So another thing is, US is seen as mega tough to get into, which may be a myth, right?
And not anymore.
Yeah. Well, this is it. And so it seemed like, oh my God, if you can get into the US, then you are better than the rest of your village. You are better than the rest of your town, or you are like the man, you know, you have prestige that you've got into the US. Not like have a UK rejection, US rejection, and then you get a Canada visa. They're like seeing like, so you really didn't want to go to Canada at all. Like, right? I just had Australia or New Zealand. You know, they come last. There is a hierarchy. There is a hierarchy. And UK and US hit that number one spot.
Yeah.
And then you get Canada, and then you get New Zealand, Australia. So that's the way it works.
But it is interesting because the US is so much more expensive than Canada and the UK to study. And yet the students want to come here. I know that we have the top universities here, but they don't even look at money.
No, I mean, this is the thing. In India, people have a lot of money. That's the myth that perhaps the US people have to get over. That, India is a third world country. They're all starving there. You know, there's famines there and earthquakes and people don't have a lot of money. Actually, you'll find it's one of the best economies in the world. And, you know, it's rivaling the US and the Chinese economies. People out there have got a lot of money. They don't know the roots. They're not educated in the ways of immigration. And that's where it comes down to, whether it's TV shows like mine, podcasts like yours, to educate the public, where people need to know that this is a correct way. This is what you need to do with your money. This is how many people of you can get over. This is exactly what's going to happen after how many years you can pull it out or get it back.
Which reminds me, where is your TV show and how can people see it?
Oh, TV shows all over the place. So we're on in UK Sky Channel 714, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. UK time. We stream it live on YouTube as well. So it goes on our MATV National is the account. It streams live and then it's there for life. So if you type my name, Harjat Bangal, into YouTube, you'll see like 600-700 videos, best of clips. And, you know, as you can tell, I like to keep everything lighthearted. So, and I deal with callers directly. This is one thing which we innovated. So it's like, if I was to do a TV show here with Mona, I would put Mona in front of a camera or Rebecca in front of a camera. And I would then say, right, I would have a phone in front of them, just like probably you do in your conference room. I say, right, call in on this number and ask them any question you want. Go. Right? I'd know you'd have the knowledge because people ask you this stuff all the time, right? All you'd have to do is just answer it live. So this is how it was born out. And people would ask me, right, I want to do this, I want to do that. And then I'd give them advice. Obviously, you can't specifically advise people until you've seen documents, but generic advice so you could do. And then that people would listen to, then they'd share it and they'd spread it. And people would realize, you know what? Yeah. Okay, these guys are talking sense and the agents aren't talking sense because the agents aren't qualified. These are guys who've never traveled abroad themselves. Right?
Exactly.
If they were that good, their own children would be living in the US. They wouldn't be hawking around looking for business.
Yeah.
Their own children are stuck in their own country, probably refused 5-6 times.
Well, that's why I think it's important that we have those avenues because then, like you said, you mentioned earlier, actually, that a lot of, you know, you go out there and you're portraying yourself as an attorney, but they don't believe it. They're thinking, oh, you're an agent and whatnot. So I think it's just, we just need to get out there and educate.
India's got a culture of where they treat agents like attorneys and attorneys like agents. So if you go to India, you'll be like, okay, I've got this scheme, EB5 Invest. He'll be like, वो छोड़ो वो छोड़ो, पैसे कितने लगेंगे, कितने पैसे लोगे, कितना टाइम लगेगा, हाउ मच, हाउ मच यू विल टेक बिफोर और आफ्टर, हाउ मच यू टेक बिफोर, हाउ मच यू आफ्टर, लाइक यू स्टार्ट टॉकिंग टू हिम अबाउट नाउ वी आर गोना चार्ज लीगल फीज एंड बिल यू बाय द आवर एंड ऑल, व्हाट, एंड आई विल लाइक नहीं 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 ऐसा नहीं होता, माय मैन व्हेन ही गेट्स टू न्यूयॉर्क then I'll pay you this amount, until then I can pay you this amount, right? And so this is the culture that the agents have got them into.
Mm.
And the agents there, they work like a no-win, no-fee. So it's like, we'll have a go, and what they do is they apply for 100 people. If 10 people get the visa, they will tell another 10 people.
Right,
yeah? Yes.
They don't care about the 90 people who don't get a visa. Now, when someone retains us, or someone pays us, they pay us to do a job.
Yeah.
We'll only take it on if we can give them a product. Otherwise, we'll tell them, look, this is a chance of success. We'll tell you now. We put it all in writing. There's no ambiguity, right? But agents don't say this. They say, look, koshish karenge, agar lag gaya, theek hai, warna paise mat dena. And so they charge a nominal amount, 10, 20,000 rupees. And even if you've got 100 of them, you're looking at what? Millions of rupees, right?
Yeah.
So you're in a, the agents are always on a win-win. And obviously an agent will try and get the visa as he can, but he won't tell you the legal routes. He doesn't know about the immigration acts of this year and that year, right? He doesn't know the technical terms. He'll just say, right, mujhe ye kagaz chahiye. And if anything, they offer the service where they can create documents for you. Yeah. They're all fake.
So this is what we're seeing, because there's a lot of regional centers going out to India and they're giving seminars and talking about their projects. People who are coming back and talking with us, they have half grasp. They've got grasped some of the issues and some of the others. And they're putting us things which really aren't that important as priority. And they really are missing a lot of the points. I don't know if it's the quality of the seminars or just what people digest, really.
I think the problem is a lot of the people on these seminars, I've seen a lot of them aren't lawyers themselves.
Yeah,
they're people
true.
With the project people.
Yeah.
So they're interested in selling. Yeah. So they're salesmen, right? A salesman wants to sell. That's what he's there for. That's his primary thing. He's there to sell his product. And if they have to then twist the facts, or they have to hide the reality, or I call it being economical with the truth. Yeah? So if they have to be economical with the truth, they don't mind that, because so what? Even if they get caught out, they're not regulated. They're not going to lose a license. They're not going to lose their living like me and you will, right? So whereas we have to be very upfront, very up honest.
Yes.
Our first interest is this, if I was the client, you know, what would I want to know?
Well, technically, all these projects are governed by the SEC, and there is a certain there's a disclosure requirement, and they aren't allowed to say untruths, because that's a misrepresentation. But it's how things change on the translation. That's what happens.
Right, let me tell you the main myth that I've heard.
Mm.
I've heard that different projects have different processing times. I've spoken to EB5 guys. I've had one guy tell me, oh, well, we got the best project. You know, we invest in this and that, and it takes 30 days. And I've done five cases.
Is that your
cases.
Texas accent?
That's my Texas accent. You know? So 30 days, right? Whereas you've got someone saying, actually, I've got a project, it takes 18 months. One saying, I've got a project, it takes 8 months. One saying, I've got a project, it takes 2 years. If I'm as a client, I'm as such, I don't get, ek mina gera hai, ek shay mina gera hai, ek saal gera hai, ek ded saal gera hai, paise utne lagenge. Why don't I go with the one for the 1 month? So, or why don't I go for the one with the 6 month? Because I would just want my visa quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I have to wait 2 years or 5 years or whatever? Right. Then as a lawyer, I'm trying to digest that and think, how can one application for the same visa, albeit for a different project, have different processing times if they're all going to be processed nationally in one center, or are they processed regionally?
Well, there is a reason. I mean, if for any reason that particular project's expedited, and it's very difficult to be expedited, there's only certain criteria that you have to fall under, and there's usually maybe one or two projects in the whole country which are expedited, that will be faster. But that doesn't go to the quality of the project. Just because you're an expedite doesn't mean that project's any better than any other project. Where, Rebecca, we're seeing projects with exemplar approvals taking the same amount of time as ordinary projects, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's another type of project. So aside from expedited, you and then your regular projects, you have exemplar projects. So that means that it's been pre-approved. So when you think you're pre-approved, you're going to have a faster adjudication time. But we've seen it taking the same amount of time as others.
We have projects all over the country and with almost all of the big regional centers. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing a variety of different projects and the process. And on the whole, it's almost the same time. Other than the expedited, everything else is more or less maybe 2 or 3 months here and there. We don't really see too much of a change.
See, and now it comes on to our second myth. The second myth is that most of these guys who are investing, so most of the Indians, unko ye bataya jata hai, they are told ke aapke money 100% secure hai. And after X amount of time, aapko itne paise guarantee se milenge hi milenge.
Okay, so just to translate that for those who don't understand Punjabi, is they're told that they're going to get their money back after an X amount of time, and
guaranteed.
It's
guaranteed. Yeah. And after certain amounts of years.
Wrong. That is right. The whole idea of the entrepreneurial visa is that your money must be at risk. If it wasn't at risk, the whole lot, every investor would go and just invest in IBM.
Right.
The idea behind this, when Congress put this together, was that they would give smaller projects, alternative projects, riskier projects an opportunity to be able to get some money through investors. So you have this risk element. You are supposed to look at the risk. And supposedly as well, your interest rate should be commensurate with the risk, but
exactly. So, I mean, it's not to say that, you know, it's at risk, but it's not to say that you can't also make
a
an
profit.
Interest. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you are supposed to make a profit.
Yeah,
you are supposed to, right?
Yes, because
so you're supposed to get your money back with some money,
right?
Yes,
the Immigration Nationality Act says
that you have to have a chance of loss and a chance of gain.
So not just a chance of loss, a chance of gain too.
Right. So this is where the problem occurs, because people aren't educated about the projects. So they would say, right, Mona has selected X, Y, and Z project for me, right? And they won't know that Mona has selected X, Y, and Z project for them, because Mona wants them to make a profit out of their money and not lose it, and not invest it in maybe an expedited project, which maybe they might lose their 500 grand altogether and they're left with nothing. But they don't have knowledge of that. The Indian people just think, पैसे दिए वीजा लग गया पांच साल के बाद मेरे पैसे आ जाएंगे और मैं छह महीने में यूएसए पहुंचूंगा बट वो ये नहीं सोचते कि प्रोजेक्ट में जब पैसे डालते हैं दिस मनी डज नॉट गो इन टू अ सेफ इट्स नॉट अ एफडी राइट इट्स नॉट अ फिक्स्ड डिपॉजिट राइट दे आर नॉट गोना से राइट पांच लाख दिए हमने तिजोरी में बंद कर दिया फाइव इयर्स बाद वी गिव देम आउट राइट दे आर नॉट गोना से दैट राइट सो दिस गोज इन टू अ बिजनेस और अ प्रोजेक्ट और अ सोशल प्रोजेक्ट where there's equally a risk of loss. So this is where people don't understand that as a lawyer, you have to vet this and you have to see, right, projects to sabhi ke paas honge, right?
Well, again, not every lawyer. Not all lawyers have that expertise.
Right.
Because if you are a lawyer who just deals with source of funds and you really don't have knowledge and stuff, then you should not be giving any advice whatsoever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we aren't supposed to be giving financial advice. You can only give advice if it pertains to your line of business. So, for example, our office prepares offering documents.
Yeah.
When we do the offering documents, we do a lot of due diligence. And when we look into the project, there are things we like, we don't like. And we can certainly tell our client, look, we like that project because we think that, you know, it's something which has a great capital stack.
There's hardly any debt or location. Yes.
Or it's just got, there's some element about that project which we find good. We are not allowed to say, go into that, you'll get your money back. You know, we're not allowed to say that. And nobody can say that either.
But people do say that.
Your agents in India.
Yeah, of course. The agents in India do say it because that's how they're going to get the sale. Right? Mm-hmm. So this is the difference. The agent doesn't care about your money. So agent ko koi parwaah nahi ki aapke paise doob jaye.
Yeah.
USA jaake
jaane.
Yeah. Usko chahiye ki haan, ye aadmi maine bhej diya. That's it. In fact, he doesn't care what happens when you get to the country. That's what I found when I was doing asylum work. That agent's job was just to plonk someone into the country.
Yes.
What happens afterwards, that person knows, wo jaane uski kismet jaane, whatever. So that's how agents work. And they have that mentality. They're not there to do the aftercare for you. They're not there to set you up somewhere. They're not there to see you make a profit.
Yeah.
And they sell you projects which you wouldn't invest in yourself.
Well, I think that's another important part too, because us as US lawyers, we cannot take commission either.
Right.
And that's the other thing, that we're going to make sure you go into a project that we believe, you know, will get you your green card and ultimately your funds back. Whereas a lot of these agents, they're just looking for the project that's going to pay them the most money. Yeah. Right.
Right. And the other thing is that we are trying to educate people on, and I think the Chinese kind of get it now. If the money to the agent, for example, because the agent gets paid commission, the maths has to work. If there is X amount paid for marketing and X amount paid for legal, etc., and then the agents get a certain amount, how much are we talking about going out if a project has to pay within 5 years? Because the one big thing is people want their money back soon.
Yeah.
And I think over the 12 years of EB5 that we have done, Rebecca, how many projects make money straight away?
No.
Nobody.
Yeah, no. It takes years to stabilize, first of all.
Average projects, by year three or four, they've actually stabilized. Mm-hmm. And maybe by year five, they've made some profit to start giving back.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you see, the agents tell you that as soon as you land, you'll be starting earning money straight away. Which, once again, is a myth from what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any project that can guarantee that you start earning, because that would be better than a bank.
Right. And you get your green card too.
And you get your green card too. And you're getting your green card. You're getting paid to get your green card.
Right. Yeah.
So basically, and that sounds too good to be true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it probably is.
Yes.
So this is what a lot of the myths are.
Yeah. So the interest rate, it has to work. I mean, you can't say, oh, look, I want to make money. I want 12%. Well, you know, no, you're not going to get 12%. You're not even going to get 8%. You know, it has to make mathematical sense to the project as well as, you know.
Yeah. And if it's too high, then the project's going to say, well, ultimately, I can get a cheaper interest rate at the bank. And so I'm going to just go and get a loan. Exactly. So you have to look into all that.
And I think another thing which I'm gathering here, so any type of interest to be earned can go up or down straight away, right? So it's not going to be stable. It's not going to be fixed.
No,
so
like usually in documents, it's fixed, but it's fixed because it's a lower amount.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if
like a basic amount, like you'd have a minimum 1-2% amount,
you know, something of that nature, then, you know, it's fixed that.
Okay.
Ajab, we're speaking in English. You're speaking a little in Punjabi, but there's many languages in India, right?
Over 100.
Right.
Over 100. So education can be really hard.
And what about if you cross over to Bangladesh and Pakistan?
Yeah, they speak Urdu and Bengali.
That's very similar.
The common theme is English. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the common thing that unites Southeast Asia is English. And whether you're from the South when you're a Tamil, whether you're from the North when you're a Punjabi, whether you're Gujarati, whether you're from Mumbai, from Karachi or, you know, Dhaka, everyone speaks English. Mm-hmm. And hence another reason why people want to come to the US, because of the language and because their kids will get educated in English. I think the education is really important. I think ways to educate people are YouTube, through the podcast, through the radio, through the TV. But the best way to educate is to actually go out there and make yourself accessible to your client. Yeah. Stuff like that we're doing at the moment, like you guys are doing, going out to India, Bangalore and Mumbai, actually meeting people. People meet you, they know, right? They get to know you're not an agent. You're the real deal.
It is.
Miss Mona has come all the way from New York. Oh, my God.
But
to
it's
see
exhausting.
Me. Gulshan Das. Yeah.
It's exhausting when you've actually said the same thing 30 times.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to have to say it 300 times right until they get their passport. So it'll be the same questions. Like,
oh, yes.
When am I going to get my money back? And like I said, education is really important.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we get out there, we get to meet our clients, we get to know our clients, we get to know, and it's taking years of me getting out there, meeting people to realize, right, this is the culture. This is how India runs.
And it takes years for someone like you. Can you imagine one of our regional
centers? Oh, you're lucky. You got me. You got me to, like, you know, just say, right, Mona, this is what we need to do, X, Y, Z. But when we went out there, we didn't have anybody. And in this sort of, the embassies don't help as well either.
No, not at all.
So they're not there to help you. So you have to find your own way around. And like I said, it's really good. We get a lot of inquiries from the UK. So like, we want to go to the US. And I'm like, listen, I've only been 3 times myself. I haven't got a clue, right? How to get there. You know what I mean? I'm just worried about me getting part of, with the current climate. I'm just worried about me. Like, yeah. I'll give you a classic example of them. Last time I came, I went to Miami. One guy goes, so why are you here? I said, for a vacation. What do you do? And they said, I do the exact opposite of what you do at immigration. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I bring them in. You try and keep them out. You know? And like, I just felt it was so harsh and so FBI-ish, you know, and like, I was expecting 4 guys in black suits to come out and grab me, you know, with the shades on. So it can be intimidating. So, but I, like I said, I wouldn't have knowledge about the US. I wouldn't know if I ever got stopped at immigration. I'd be like, I'll need to phone Mona or Rebecca. Right? Like, and that's me saying that. So can you imagine somebody who's coming from a village or a town in India?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what sort of the stuff that they've been told, or the mis-selling that's going on, misrepresentation that's going on. And actually, when they get here, they find, well, hold on, or they try and get here, this is what's going on, or this isn't. And so this is really important that we get out there and we reach the masses and we educate them. And there's no better gift than education. I always say, I don't know what the question is, but the answer is always education.
Right.
Yeah, right. So the answer is always education. And no matter what the question is, and this is the key, India needs to educate itself in every field. And once it starts doing that, then, you know, through whatever, we'd have to take it upon ourselves. And once it does that, then there'll be, the questions will stop. they'll be more focused. They'll be like, okay, we'll be sitting here thinking, right, this guy knows what he's on about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this guy has got an idea now. He's checked the schemes out and he knows what he's on about. Just like
we would. Schemes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it. In India, everything is a scheme. So like everything is a scheme. So like, what's your scheme? What's the, oh, they call it game. It's like, so they'll say, buddy, game kya? I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah. What's a game? Like, no, USA ki koi game hai. And I'll be like, what?
Is this for real?
Yeah. Is this, like, what game? What, like, are you playing a game? So that's the language that they use. And that's the way they see it. It's a gamble for them because agents tell them it's a gamble. There's no, once they find out, look, there's quick fire ways, there's quick assured guaranteed ways to get your visa correctly. If you abide by the rules and if you make yourself capable of getting them, yeah, just, we just got to get to A to B, not via X, Y, and Z. And this is what usually happens. So once people get to realize that, then people will realize, right, let's come to the US properly. Let's stop all this illegal trafficking. Because that's what the agents, the illegal agents, they sell you that.
Well, yes. The thing that they're doing now, which is not so good, is that people are being paid to get their source of funds done from India.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, there's some shady stuff going on there too.
Yeah. Right? And look, false bank statements, borrowing money off people.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the other one is that, the key one is they always ask you, do I have to invest this money or is this just show money? Yeah. So the show money, like they told you just have to show it in your bank. Yeah. After that, you don't even have to invest it. So that's
so there's just so much more myths that we have to...
Oh, loads of myths. You can sit there and bust
myths. Mark, I can hear you trying to butt in. I know we're going over time, but we have so much. Perhaps, Sajab, we can talk about it again.
Yeah,
definitely. We can talk about it whenever you want. Yeah. So I'm going to start coming to New York a bit regularly now, once a year. Not every once every 8 years. That's if they let me in after this podcast.
Well, luckily for technology, we could do it from the UK
as
well.
Yeah, yeah, I would love to do so. And I think this is really good. This is stuff that you need. Mm-hmm. Your listeners need to hear to this. And people need to realize that immigration is not a hate word. It's not a bad word. It's not a naughty word. Yeah. Yep. There are benefits to this country for immigrants. It's a country. I'm perplexed when people from the USA are anti-immigration. And I'm like, yeah, but your name's McGinty. Like, your parents are from Ireland or you've got a Polish name. This country is built on immigration.
That's right.
Solely on immigration, right?
That's right. So,
and immigration can only be a good thing. It's part and parcel of the US. And if US people start going anti-immigration, then what hope has the rest of the world got?
Mm.
You know, then what hope have other countries got? You know,
maybe we should have him run for the Democratic
Party. I know.
Oh, no, leave it out. Leave it out. I'm happy just to get through the border.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hijab.
Thank you for being with us today on EB5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshawlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB5 Investment Voice.